So the way this is going next is, as we sort of alluded to briefly earlier, is to incorporate further sensory modalities. So that means incorporating vision sensors, and there are a host of different types of vision sensors, some of those very bio-inspired, whether you're looking at optic flow or things like that, and also other types of mechanosensors. So I was talking previously about mounting pressure sensors onto these devices, but also you can use flow-sensitive hairs, for example, and that's more similar to the biological models. And there are good things about hairs as well. The pressure sensors require some sort of inlet to a very sensitive membrane, and that's something which could potentially get clogged after a lot of use or filled with sand or anything like that. So the idea is to increase the size of the sensory toolkit that we have available to us. But that brings with it the challenge of how you interpret that information. And you need to think not just about measuring everything and going for a big data approach, but going for a smart data approach, thinking about which data streams from my sensors are giving me the best information and the most useful information right now. So we need to think about algorithms that give them a quality score and how that's most likely to prevent crashes. So that's one of the things we're doing. And that itself fits into an even broader research theme that's going on in the lab, which is about sensing the environment with aerodynamic, well, with flying animals. And we do a lot of work with birds as well, and how they negotiate atmospheric turbulence, how they deal with gusts, that kind of thing. And so if you can exploit some of those tricks to increase your duration, or if you can increase your stability, whether that's stability for a camera platform, for following sports events or search and rescue or any of those applications we talked about before, then you know the world of biology gives huge resource for those sort of engineering approaches.